It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 313, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I preview the Gonzaga game, speculating as to whether the Cougars can pull off another upset against the Zags on the road. I continue my campaign to free Peyton Dastrup, and Matt lays out how important TJ Haws is to a potential BYU victory. Also on the show, Kyle Van Noy in another Super Bowl, Fred Warner building an NFL hype machine, and Ayo and Teo dance with Cosmo. I'm not even sure what that last sentence means. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Check us out at deseretnews.com/podcast, where you can find this show and other great shows. And listen to Matt and I right now. Matt, are you going to see the Black Panther this month? Well,
yes.
Technically, it's January still when I'm recording this. By the time anyone
But barely. By the time it's edited, it might be February.
Actually, by the time it's edited, it's likely to be February. So, Matt, will you be seeing Black Panther?
That is an affirmative.
That's an affirmative. Have you seen the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I've not. Is this like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Is it that type of a setup?
It's exactly like that. They die at the end, surrounded by Mexican authorities.
You just ruined the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I didn't, because I said the wrong country.
Oh!
It's not Mexico. See? Ah! Suspense, well folks!
Well played.
Andre, that was for you, AC underscore Hutchins.
Did you just open up a heathen drink?
It's not heathen anymore. You can get some of this caffeinated goodness on campus.
I don't judge what's heathen, not heathen, by what happens on campus at Brigham Young University.
I only judge it by what the guidelines are at there. That's why I shave every day, because otherwise it's immoral. You know, I haven't shaved 2 days in a row in a long time. I hate shaving. Shaving's the worst.
Shaving is the worst. Who came up with this crap?
Worst. But you know what? I also don't like having a beard, like a long one.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you have to live in this middle space, right?
Yeah, you live in this middle space. So anyway, but I did see a tweet. I don't know who it was. Somebody I follow on Twitter that they said it was kind of more fun when you had to sneak in your caffeinated beverage to the
Marriott Center. Yeah, somebody said this tasted better when I had to smuggle it in.
Yeah, I forget who that was. So that is pretty funny. So Matt, let's jump right in from movies and caffeinated beverages and heathen activities to thecougarfan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
You can barely get it out because you're
laughing.
Tough.
You said heathen activities. You said heathen activities along with caffeinated beverages, which kind of implied that we were talking about other heathen activities. And I wasn't aware that there was other stuff on the list we had discussed.
Growing of beards.
Heathens.
Mm. Wow, that heathen beverage is good. All right, Matt, let's start out with this.
I sense a theme developing in this week's episode of the podcast.
Yeah, it's the heathen episode, I guess. Matt, Gary Croton is in the news in a very weird way. Is weird the wrong word?
Is it really weird when it's Gary Croton?
Probably not. Gary Croton is now the offensive coordinator at Pineview High School in Utah, in southern Utah. Matt, any reaction to Gary Croton's new coaching gig?
It's the emoji with just the big eyes, but otherwise an expressionless face. Mm. That's what I've got.
That's what you've got. I don't know what to do with this one either. I mean, this guy was an NFL offensive coordinator, head coach at BYU, a coordinator at LSU. You know, you might have heard of them. It's strange. And I watched the radio show where he and the coach at Pineview kind of announced it.
Because that's something we do in 2018. We watch radio shows now.
Yeah. No, we watch it. It's a video feed.
No, that's what you do. You watch radio shows. I know. I watch radio shows all the time.
Yeah, you watch Mike and Mike, or what is it now?
Wingo and Golic and Wingo. Yeah. Golic's name is first.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's actually a better product. And I like Grinberg, but whatever.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? So Matt, let's talk about the NFL for a minute. You know what people love?
The New England Patriots winning Super Bowls?
People love two Patriots fans talking about the Super Bowl. And that's what's about to happen.
Yes, it is.
So Kyle Van Noy, who everybody listening to this podcast better love, and if you don't, just shut off the podcast and never listen again. That's the way to get rid of some listeners.
There you go. That's what we need to do, is drive the numbers down.
That's right.
I think that's what the point of this is.
That's right. Right. If you're some University of Utah fan or San Diego Aztec that somehow still listens to this podcast and you hate Kyle Van Noy,
then you're a little weird.
Suck it and go listen to something else. Kyle Van Noy is headed to his second straight Super Bowl, obviously. But this year it's a little different. He was an important player and was involved in the defense. But this year, Matt, he is the play caller on defense, one of the best players on the defense, and, you know, will play a major role in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Matt, we've talked about this a little bit, but go back 3 years to when he was struggling to get on the field because of injuries and coaching decisions in Detroit. He talked about this week about how this trade was a huge blessing for him and his career. Matt, I mean, 3 years ago, did you kind of think that maybe Kyle Van Noy was done and was going to just be a backup special teams guy for a few years, and then we'd just be talking about how, you know, it just never really worked for him in the NFL, but he was an unbelievable college player?
That's exactly what this story was going to be. I mean, I don't know that this opportunity opening up for him is quite the same as Steve Young going to the 49ers, right? But with Steve Young getting out of Tampa was a really big deal. And for Kyle Van Noy, getting out of Detroit was a really big deal. It made his career. Whereas had he stayed in Detroit, his career was broken. They had no idea what to do with him. There was nothing for him to do.
Nope.
So this is obviously the best case scenario for Kyle Van Noy. If you rewind the tape back 3 years and think about, you know, what his future looked like at that point, I don't know that it gets better than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we got another Kyle Van Noy headed to the NFL, Matt, in Fred Warner. Not maybe quite as good, but we'll get to that Fred in a second. But Fred,
but you know, you take a guy. Well, look at a guy like Longy, right? Longy wasn't, you know, but had Longy not been in that car accident and had to and missed some time for injury, I think he's a contributor in over the next couple of years in New England.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. He would have been a contributor. I don't know if he would have played as much as Van Noy has, but absolutely, I think he's.
And he may not be a Fred Warner. Coming back to your original point, right?
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, Warner with the Senior Bowl stuff, he got interviewed by the New Orleans newspaper about Taysom Hill. Did you read that story?
No, I did not.
Yeah. You live in New Orleans. You should have read it. That's a party foul, Matt. Basically, Fred Warner said,
"I don't. First of all, I don't live in New Orleans. I live in Baton Rouge.
It's the same place.
It's for the rest of the world. It's just like it's Louisiana."
Okay, let me ask you a question. When people ask you where you grew up, what do you tell them?
Norwell, Massachusetts.
Okay, and when they say where is that, what do you tell them?
It's next to Scituate.
Ridiculous. You tell them you're from Boston eventually, right?
I am ignoring and defeating your point right now.
Because we're not from Boston. We didn't grow up in Boston at all. If you're from Massachusetts or even New England, you know, you wouldn't say to someone from New England that you're from Boston, right? You'd say South Shore, you'd say Norwell, you'd say closer to Plymouth, whatever, right? You'd say something else, you know? Close to Braintree. Oh, by the way, I saw this on my timeline the other day. Do you remember that? I forget the comedian's name. They did a skit where it was the movie was Boston Accent. Do you remember that one? And there's just this whole thing of them going back and forth, two characters saying Massachusetts towns back and forth.
This does ring a bell.
Anyway, Scituate came up. Anyway. So it's Louisiana, whatever, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. But the point is, Fred Warner said he, because of Taysom Hill's freaky athleticism and skills as a quarterback, to Fred Warner, Taysom Hill is a future NFL quarterback. For whatever that's worth, his buddy Taysom is going to start. But it was a good piece because, you know, Fred's just saying you know, faced him a bunch in practice and saw him for years and knows just how athletic Taysom Hill is, you know? But let's talk about Fred Warner for a second. Matt, the hype is building.
The hype train is on the rails.
So he had three formal interviews with NFL franchises at the Senior Bowl. So that's kind of a big deal. You know, and let's see, where did they say the Saints, Steelers, and Raiders, which, by the way, I'm only interested in going to the Saints. No interest in the Steelers or the Raiders.
I could do the Steelers, maybe. No, not the Raiders. So that's a train wreck.
They're the Steelers. You really?
No, I'm saying he could go to the Steelers and have a good career in the NFL.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What are you talking about? They just hired a guy that hasn't coached in years to be their coach for more money than
brilliant.
Belichick makes.
No, he doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
That's right. That's right. You know,
and they're going to move to Las Vegas. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing could go wrong, Matt. It'll work out perfectly. They'll win multiple Super Bowls.
Everything's going to be fine, everybody. Everything's going to be fine.
Don't worry. I believe it's a fan-sided site, Steel Curtain. Not Steel Curtain, Steel Curtain, but it's
clever.
Pittsburgh Steelers site. They did a film room on Fred Warner and looked at some of his games. And then there was a scout that I retweeted his take, and the scout's name is, let me pull it out, John Ledyard, and he broke down a bunch of his film from practice and game at the Senior Bowl and all that stuff. And basically, some of these scouts are very, very high on Fred Warner. And I've read multiple times, and maybe it's just getting repeated because sometimes that stuff happens. But Matt, they basically think he's going to play a different position in the NFL than he played with BYU. And that his film and stats may not be indicative exactly of how good he could be at the next level. What's your take on the Fred Warner hype train?
Oh, I'm on board with the Fred Warner hype train. I think Fred Warner is exactly as advertised. I mean, you look at, you know, and Ledyard has tweeted out some film that he uses as an example here for a guy that's got, you know, and I know this is really cliche of a phrase and nose for the football, but this is a guy who can read defenses. He can see from different places on the field. He's football smart, and he's got some real physical gifts that you can't teach, right? So
yes,
it shouldn't be a shock to anybody that a guy like Fred Warner is going to show up in a Senior Bowl and be able to shine, even though he might not be showing up with the marquee name on the back of his jersey as some of these other guys. But he's got the right tools to make up for the difference there.
Yep. And he's going to get drafted, Matt.
Oh, he'll get drafted, especially you look at the performance he had at this. Because at the Senior Bowl, and what's interesting here, and I think that what helps drive this point home is some of this film that Ledger tweets out, right? Is that it's not – what you did in the game is not important.
No.
It's how you showed up to practice the whole week, because those coaches are all going to go back and talk to each other. All those scouts are going to go back and talking about each other. And that's how this stuff happens. And you know what? And do you need – what's his face? The guy with the big hair on ESPN that makes a lot of money being wrong about the draft?
Mel Kiper.
So you don't need Mel Kiper to start talking about Fred Warner. Mel Kiper can spend his time obsessed with this quarterback out of Wyoming if he wants. What you need is you need the real NFL guys – to sniff Fred Warner out, and they'll have their own conversations, and eventually that'll bleed out. Todd McShay and Shefty and these guys will all pick that up, and they'll say, "I'm getting some buzz on this Fred Warner guy." But that's how Fred Warner moves up draft boards.
Yes, for sure.
It's gonna happen in that direction, folks. So the fact that he's not moving up Mel Kiper's big board, guess what? That move's gonna happen second. Mel Kiper's going to move him when he starts hearing from NFL teams.
McShay had him 11th among the interior linebackers. So, I mean,
I think McShay's the really good draft guy. And I'm not just saying that because of this, but
no, I think McShay's got a better feel, especially for, I mean, McShay's a lot of times just what have scouts told him, right? Like,
exactly.
As opposed to Kiper, not that McShay doesn't watch film, because I know he does. But Kuiper's really based on his own opinions, right? Anyway, Fred Warner, future NFL player, it's coming. Not that we really doubted it. Well, Matt, let's talk about basketball here for a second, more than a second, probably. Lose to St. Mary's, beat Pacific, kind of what we thought the week would go. I actually predicted them beating St. Mary's, and it didn't go this way. But, Matt, we need to talk about the important stuff, okay? First of all, Matt, before we get to the important stuff, you and I said this last week, this scenario, losing to St. Mary's and Pacific, on a win against Pacific, does not mean BYU is not going to the NCAA tournament, right? The game is not over today.
No.
You beat Gonzaga twice between now and the end of the year, you're probably in, right? Based on their resume, their other resume. You beat Gonzaga once and go deep in the WCC tournament, you're probably a bubble team and you need some help, right? So
but there's still plausible scenarios after what happened here.
Yeah. Now it would have been really good to pick BYU up that win against Simmers.
I mean, they're clearly not like they're not a top seed, right?
But right. No. Yeah, we won't. But Matt, let's talk about the important stuff, okay? Andre Hutchins, that's @AC_Hutchins in our first tweet bag of the day.
Tweet bag. That was delayed.
You were slow. Andre says this.
We need to look into that. Response time was delayed.
Yeah, we gotta see if the wiring is complete there. Be honest, did you have to Google search Ayo and Teo to know who was performing at halftime during the UOP game? Even though we old guys might not understand it, that was big time for #BYU, #ClimbOnInOldMan.
he just made it weird.
By the way, I believe Andre is a lot younger than I am. I don't know that for certain. But him putting...
I think Andre is a lot younger than I am.
I have to say, putting him together with us, I'm cool with that, Andre.
That's cool. He seems more hip than me. He's clearly more hip than I am. Well, I mean, we've got our fake Twitter beef, but...
Yeah, that's not hard. I don't even know if I'm saying Ayo and Teo right.
So my answer with this question is, did I have to Google search it? No, I didn't care enough to even Google search it.
What I was going to say is... I didn't need to Google search it. All I knew was, oh.
It wasn't Manti Te'o. I did know that.
Yeah. All I had to do was go, oh, some group that I'll have never heard of. You know, and my kids aren't old enough yet where they're really into music. My 11-year-old likes classical. So, you know, I know who Mozart is. So there you go. But I'll tell you what, here's the thing. I actually have a connection to Cosmo. Are you ready for this?
No, don't we all?
My college roommate, the guy that dances as Cosmo right now, that have been on all these viral videos, grew up in the ward where they live now as adults.
Whoa!
Basically, he's kind of.
I don't think you should say anything more than that. That's like, isn't that like top secret who Cosmo is? I know there's more than one Cosmo, but isn't it like
top secret? Is it?
Yeah. People aren't supposed to know who it is.
I don't know if they're supposed to know who it is.
When I was in school there, people weren't supposed to know who it was. It was kept pretty low key. And they'd go to events and they'd be like, okay, well, it's time to have lunch now. And Cosmo would have to lock himself in a room without windows to take the head off and eat.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
I've never even heard of this.
And I know a couple of people who were like, or you'd even hear stories, but I do know at least one person who was a roommate with a Cosmo.
But all I can say is this. Whoever is in that costume is an amazing dancer.
Oh, they're like, awesome.
This last video is, I think, as impressive as the first one, right? Like,
I think it's even better, but it's their way of kind of shutting down the copycats.
It's amazing. I mean, and, you know, Cosmo, when we were in school, did some cool acrobatic stuff, right? Like, it's not as if the people that were in Cosmo then were not highly talented, right? They did all sorts of stuff. But they didn't dance like this. I mean, the Cougarettes were doing their thing and winning national titles and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, they've been doing that forever. The Cougarettes are, like, some of the best, right?
They're fantastic. But to have Cosmo do it, amazing. Amazing. So... Anywho. So that's important thing number two.
So do I need to look up Ao and Teo?
Well, let's Google it
right
now.
Do I need to understand who these people are? I mean, it was clearly a big deal. Like, you could tell people were really excited about it. I mean, it was a big deal.
Well, when
right?
you type in Ao into Google, and Teo pops right up.
Because Google has heard us talking about it.
Yeah.
They're in your head, man.
You know a lot of people believe that, right?
Ao and Teo, Rolex official video pops up.
They were born, both of them, after I graduated high school. Awesome.
Oh, boy.
They're a duo of dancers from Ann Arbor, Michigan. They've appeared in music videos from Usher and Chris Brown. Sweet.
Their song Rolex peaked at number 20 on the U.S. Billboard.
They don't really have that big of a Wikipedia page. It's very...
There's five songs on here.
It's very sparse, but they're new and they're hot.
Apparently it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
They are not old.
No, they are not old. They're not old. So anyway, Matt, the other thing is I said watching the game against the St. Mary's and the Pacific game, I'm starting a movement, free Peyton Dastrup.
I don't think you're alone there. I think you might even be late to be to claim starting the
movement. Stop it. I've been saying free Peyton Dastrup for like 2 months.
I don't know. I haven't heard you say that.
Stop it. Well, maybe I didn't use that phrase. But I have said play him more.
You need to use a hashtag if you want to own the movement.
Hashtag Matt's a dork.
Hashtag climb on in.
Yeah. All right.
For example.
So we're about to get to that, Matt. Brian Thacker on Twitter, that's at Brian J. Thacker, has this to say about Dastrup. I know he was a spark during the first half for Pacific, but my hashtag tweetback question is this. Is Dastrup's greatest contribution to the team his celebratory dance moves from the bench every time someone makes a three-pointer? Hashtag climb on in, hashtag it's not creepy. Brian, if you have to add hashtag it's not creepy, then I think it's creepy.
No, see, what he's trying to do is counter your weirdness around this brilliant hashtag I invented. That's what he's just trying to explain to you. It's not creepy. Maybe he was being nice and he left out hashtag you're out of touch.
Did you just call your own hashtag brilliant?
Listen,
did you just really do that?
I'm just stating facts.
Look
at how it's taken off.
I don't think you know what the word fact means, but we can discuss that later. To answer his question, I love Dastrup, not only on the bench, but when he hit a three, you know, he's like dancing around. Like his celebrations are top notch, right?
Oh, yeah, top shelf. Top shelf celebrations out of Dastrup.
On the bench, on the court. But back to, you know, him actually playing for the Cougars. Dastrup needs to play more, Matt. If we want to beat Gonzaga this week, and we'll get to the preview, if we want to go farther, we need more Peyton Dastrup and less Zach Seljaas. I don't mean to be mean to Zach, but Dastrup has to play more. And I get it. He can't defend bigs, and he's a big. I'm not saying he's a perfect player. But right now, he's hitting shots. He's playing good defense. Peyton Dastrup has to play more. And Rose said something similar to that after the game. Like, well, maybe we need to get Peyton in there more. Well, yeah, and it's been true for a while, Dave, and we got to get him in.
Yeah, but do you worry that there's some balance here, right? Some players are just better coming off of the bench.
Fine, he can come off the bench. I'm not saying start him. I'm just saying, right now, Seljaas is still inexplicably playing 20 to 25 minutes a game. Right? Despite the fact that he's not shooting three-pointers, basically, at all. Against Pacific, he didn't even take a shot in 17 minutes. And before that game against Pacific, when he played 17, he'd played, averaged about 25 minutes for the month before that. I mean, I like Seljaas. I really thought he'd be a big contributor, but right now he's not doing that. And Dastrup, when he's in, is playing well. Yeah, if he plays a ton of minutes, does he get exposed? I don't know. But I think at this point, you got to find that out, right? I think so. I think you got to find it out.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'll tell you this much. TJ Haas is back, right?
TJ Haas is back, and going into the Gonzaga, that's what you need.
Yeah.
You got to have all, you need all of that. You need all the Haas. You probably do need some more Dastrup, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I think you got to, I think you have to work Dastrup's playing time up in increments. I think Dastrup is a player where if you go full throttle with the type of minutes that you're talking about, I think you may see some regression.
Sure. And that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And before anybody yells at me about TJ Haas's 8-point performance against Pacific, he had 7 assists and a couple steals. It wasn't his best offensive shooting night. 0-for-5 from the 3-point line, but I mean he has been a ton better. And against St. Mary's, he had a good game, right? So,
and I think when you look at like Haas, we've used words like lost and confused and other similar words to describe the play we've seen out of him. But what you're seeing right now, I think a word you've used is assertive. He definitely looks more confident than he had been looking in the past. These things are valuable. I mean, you know, an 8-point performance is an 8-point performance, but seven assists, I mean, that's not nothing to sneeze at. I mean, and really you shouldn't sneeze at anything because that's gross, but that's what you're seeing out of TJ Haas is something different.
That was maybe the dumbest joke you've ever made.
That's not the dumbest joke I've ever made. I'll admit it wasn't very funny, but I've made a lot of stupid jokes.
Okay, fine.
That's
fine,
not even the dumbest joke I'm going to make during this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, fine. All right.
Save your superlatives, Mangum.
Yeah, use hashtag your superlatives. All right,
hashtag
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. I think we're still doing a podcast, aren't we?
Go ahead, what?
I don't know. Did you finish your point on TJ Haas?
Yeah.
All right. Then let's move on. Matt, let's talk about what's coming up, okay? So at Loyola Marymount, at Gonzaga, coming up. We're not going to talk about Loyola Marymount at all. They're terrible. BYU wins. Okay, moving on. Gonzaga. Our brother Don asked this on Facebook. And by the way, if you want a hashtag climb on in, you can do it 3 ways. Via
brilliant hashtag.
Via Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. You can do it on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can do it, we've got one of these coming up, an email one, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. One word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Our brother Don comes on the show here. Is it just me or is Gonzaga the anti-rival? I cheer for them in every game when we don't play them. Matt, do you cheer for Gonzaga when they're not playing BYU?
I don't like own Gonzaga gear, but if I turn a game on and it's Gonzaga and someone else, I could lean in a Gonzaga direction.
All right.
But sometimes right after we've played them, I might have a hard time with that.
Gonzaga's playing St. Mary's. Who are you rooting for?
Right now? Gonzaga.
In general. Do you have a horse in that fight?
No, I'm going to enjoy I'll enjoy the game, but I'm not going to necessarily fight? Get behind one.
What am I talking about?
I think that's actually metaphor. Illegal. I think that's illegal, actually.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Do you have a rooster in that fight? Also illegal.
Also illegal, but at least it made sense.
At least that's a thing, right? Yeah. That's a thing that people do. Yeah. That whatever it is that you just said, not only is it not a thing, I think I'm not even sure it would be interesting.
Yeah.
So, anyway. What are we talking about?
We're so off the rails in this episode.
I saw a video the other day. Somebody put shoes on a dog. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? They put these little mittens on a dog, and the dog couldn't figure out what to do. He was like trying to buck them off. And I can imagine a horse bite looking a lot like this dog trying to shake these shoes off his paws. Like it would just be like kind of spastic movements that vaguely resembled something a horse would do, but not quite.
All right. Well, thanks for that. So I have to say, I don't know that I hate St. Mary's, but man, when Dellavedova was on that team, I didn't like him.
No, I still hate Dellavedova.
Yeah. I mean, and then when he went to the Cavs, it was just easy to not like him in the NBA, too.
He was dirty.
Yeah. Dirty, the mouth guard, all of it. Couldn't stand
dirty player.
Couldn't stand any of it.
Hell of a dirty player.
Yeah, here we go. So Randy Whittle also on Facebook says this. What would BYU and okay, let me back up. The Gonzaga administration has asked the Gonzaga student section to not dress up as LDS missionaries, okay? So the next couple questions are about that. The first one is, Randy Whittle says, what would BYU administration do if a whole group of BYU students came to the Marriott Center dressed like Jesuit priests when Gonzaga comes to town? And Jeremy Ashton, via email, asked this, as an RM, should I actually be offended when the student section dresses like a missionary? Matt, so Randy and Jeremy's questions are kind of coming from opposite directions, right? To answer Randy's question, they would never let them in the Marriott Center dressed as Jesuit priests.
No, that would be in poor taste, and it's not a really good comparison. But it would definitely be in poor taste.
But it would not, BYU administration would not roll with it. No. I think that's safe to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to Jeremy's question, as a return missionary, should I actually be offended when the student section dresses like a missionary? The answer to me is, you can be offended by whatever you want to be offended. I'm not offended by people dressing up as missionaries. I think it's weird and dumb. But I'm not offended. The only time I get bent out of shape about it is when they take it a few steps beyond that, right? Like when they then do lewd things dressed as a missionary because they want to make Mormons feel uncomfortable, right? Like that's the part where some of this has happened at San Diego State and Stanford, and people wonder why I hate these schools. Where those things have happened and the administration hasn't stepped in, Gonzaga is getting ahead of this one, but quite frankly, I don't. If I'm at a game and I see a couple people wearing white shirts, which I have been, by the way, and a name tag, it doesn't really affect my mood or my enjoyment of the game at all. Matt?
Well, often this will include a bike helmet, which for me doesn't make any sense. I was a Mormon missionary and didn't put on a bike helmet for the entire time I was a Mormon missionary. But there's a lot of people like that. But that's what these guys see, and I get it. But if you've got room in your life to get offended that this is the thing that people say about your religious beliefs that's going to offend you, then you live in a pretty fortunate situation,
right,
to be honest.
Right.
If this is the worst thing that somebody says about your church or the worst thing you see about your church, then you've got a pretty good. I would just leave it alone. But like you said, it's when people take that next step and they're going to actually say or do something that's derogatory about a religious belief or about religious leaders or those types of things. I don't know that dressing as a missionary by itself is really derogatory, right?
Right.
I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. I understand that maybe even they mean it that way. But at the end of the day, like, I really could care less. I mean, and shoot, like I had to dress like that for 2 years. Didn't find it. I hate wearing ties. So like, if these guys want to go to a basketball game in a tie, more power.
Jokes on them, right? Yeah, I don't really care about it that much. But I have to say, hands off. I mean, hands off. Hands off. What am I trying to say?
I don't know, but hands off is usually a good policy.
Yeah. I was gonna say hats off. God. It's getting late. Hats off to the Gonzaga administration for trying to stay ahead of it. They've got a return missionary on the team. You know, I this is the difference between playing in the West Coast Conference and the Mountain West Conference, is almost none of those schools would have given a crap about this and what their student sections did, right? Part of that's public schools and freedom of speech stuff, but quite frankly, more of it's the administration would have no interest in getting involved, right? It doesn't matter to me. When I was, I've been to a few games where people dressed as missionaries, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I always go dressed as a return missionary whenever I go to these games. So, and no one's been offended by me doing that.
I've gone, how about this? I've attended, well, see, that's the other thing too, is like, I've attended every BYU game I've ever gone to dressed as a Mormon.
There was one where I didn't go dressed as a Mormon, so figure that one out. So, Matt, the Gonzaga game's coming up, and obviously we know about Williams and Perkins and some of the stuff. I wanted to talk about two players that may affect the outcome of this game who are maybe not the names that we'll talk about as often. So the two players are, and I'm going to butcher his name, but is it Rui Hachimura?
Sure.
6'8 forward. He right now plays, it's a bench role. Plays, you know, I think it's per game, 20 minutes a game, right?
Yep.
He's doing about 20 minutes a game. Looks really, I mean, but he's a dangerous player right now. 11 points and 5 boards a game. Shoots 61% from the field. And the other one is big man Killian Tilly, 6'10", averaging 13 points, 6 boards, 2 assists a game, shooting 57% from the field. Both of them are good free throw shooters. This, Matt, the reason I bring up these two players and why we're not going to spend time on Perkins and others is because, you know, we know them and we played them for years and these guys are relative newcomers, is that this is what separates Gonzaga from basically even St. Mary's and why they've dominated the conference. It's not just the quality of the conference, which of course is part of it. It is the fact that if you look at this, this team is 8 deep, right? 8 or 9 deep of players that would be starters and many of them stars on every other team in the conference, including BYU. You know, right now, Hachimura does not start and only playing, you know, like I said, 20 minutes a game. He'd be playing a lot more everywhere else in the conference. And quite frankly, a lot more at a lot of other schools in major conferences.
And he'd be playing a lot more at other schools in the top 50.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And here he is averaging, you know, 19, 20 minutes a game as a sophomore. And last year, heck, he hardly played at all, right? But having a good year Killian Tilly, combine the name there. Same thing, you know, second year player that didn't play a ton last year on that veteran squad. He's starting and playing 25 minutes a game. But, you know, you look at these players and you go, this is why they're so good, right? Is these two are not the two best players on the team, but they could be. And they probably will be next year, right?
Yeah, but that's how you reload. That's how you build a program that is perennially competitive.
Yes, that is exactly how you do it. I mean, it's quite frankly, it's amazing what they've accomplished. And I you know, I'm like Don. I root for him. I won't lie. And I'm not a guy who roots for the conference. I'm not that guy. You know, I mean, I guess I kind of do because you want the conference to do well because it looks good on your team. But I don't. You know, I've never sat there when we were in the Mountain West and cheered for Mountain West teams. Quite frankly, I disliked most of them. So, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't rooting for them. Maybe Air Force, you know, kind of. But I do like Gonzaga a little bit. I don't own any gear, though, either.
I don't need to own any Gonzaga gear.
I don't need to own any Gonzaga. So Matt, what's going to happen on Saturday night? What's going to happen with the Cougars and Gonzaga? Who's winning that game on Saturday night?
I think we've got a close game here on our hands, and I think the Cougs can pull out a win.
Wait a second. Are you predicting a win?
I'm going to go ahead and predict a win. Cougs by 4.
Wow. This is funny because last week I was predicting a St. Mary's victory, and you were not. And now I feel like all of a sudden we've switched. I think BYU loses by 8.
I think St. Mary's is a better team.
I don't. They won one. They beat them. So, I mean, obviously you can make that argument without.
That's one of the facts that I would lean on.
Yeah.
To support my claim.
Yeah. That makes sense.
They actually won a game head to head.
I think Gonzaga is a better team.
It's an indicator.
I think, quite frankly, for us, it's a matchup thing for me more than necessarily the quality of the teams. I think we will struggle. They've got, obviously, Landale's a matchup problem for everybody in the conference and, quite frankly, most teams in the country, right? Gonzaga doesn't have a player that's maybe as good as Landale is, but I think the problem for BYU is not matching up against the one player. It's match. There's three or four guys, including two of the ones I just mentioned, that we just will, I think, will struggle to guard. And I just think defensively, as good as we've been this year defensively, the offense may be there because Gonzaga's defense is good but not great. I just don't think we'll be able to contain them, to contain their offense. So efficient and so well-rounded as an offense. So, any other thoughts?
I've heard national pundits have a hard time knowing what his name is. But I think people have a he's a bad matchup for everybody. But it didn't. St. Mary's got it.
Yo, it's true. It's absolutely true.
And they may have some tools. And I understand they may have some tools and some stuff in their lineup that we do not. But I think that this is a team that can beat Gonzaga. You know, this is not like a David and Goliath situation. I think sometimes we think about Gonzaga as, you know, because they're perennially. I mean, they're. Usually, I've used the word perennially a lot the past 5 minutes. I'm not even sure what it means. But Gonzaga is a program that has been at the top of the conference for a very long time. You know, I think it's the last 16 or 17 years that them or St. Mary's has won the conference, but most of those times it's been Gonzaga. I just don't think the gap is that wide right now between those three teams. This is a program that we've beat before. I think we're competitive with them, and I think we can figure out what it is that we need to do in order to win this game. Is it a little bit more Dastrup? Maybe it's a little more Dastrup. Is it TJ Haws finally figuring things out? Maybe that's what it is. But we have a couple of those things coming together at just the right time going into a big game, and I like our chances.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I do too. I mean, I'm not going to be shocked by a BYU victory in any way, shape, or form. Matt, one more tweet bag question before we leave the Gonzaga game and talking about it. Dan Roach on Twitter, that's @BruteDR, says, buy or sell, after beating Gonzaga fourth time in a row, so Dan's predicting a victory, Cougar Smart Nation man. Will begin to refer to the kennel as Marriott Center North. Hashtag climb on in to the hashtag tweet bag. Matt?
It's a large hashtag.
No, it's two hashtags. Hashtag climb on in, and then he has not hashtag to the hashtag tweet bag.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah,
like
it does make
it.
More
like
sense.
It.
So Matt, it is kind of a thing, right? With us winning up there, I think it, as I said, comes to an end. But I don't know. Do you think that stuff plays into players' heads?
Oh, it absolutely plays in players' heads, and especially at this level. I think that's maybe a little bit less true at the professional level, just because they play a lot more games and the guys are a lot more experienced. But at a college level where you've got the shorter schedules, you're only playing there once a year and all this, it absolutely plays into these guys' heads.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does. I agree with you.
And I think you use it. If you're Rose, I think you use it. You say, hey, guys, we went in there last year and beat these guys. It's the same team.
I think this works a lot. I mean, it probably works both directions. But I think where it really works is when, you know, it's you brought this up last week or maybe it was a couple weeks ago with the Ivan Drago, you know, reference. But the Russians cut, right? Like you've kind of gotten away from the mystical, we can't beat them in Spokane, right? And that's gone now. So I don't know that that's like the biggest factor in any game. But when you're talking about two good teams, any little factor can make a big difference, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I agree with you. I agree with you, especially in basketball. I'm a little, because so many players are involved in football, I don't know if I'm as convinced that those type of things matter in football. To the same extent, I should say. They do matter, just maybe not to the same extent.
Yeah, and that may be true.
Matt, BYU volleyball did not have a good weekend. After, you know, a couple weeks ago beating number one Ohio State in Columbus, they were swept two nights. They lost both nights in closely contested matches against also highly ranked Anteaters of UC Irvine. They host the number 14 UC Santa Barbara. I forget what their mascot is. I'm going to get it.
I feel like we have this
gauchos
at least once a year.
Gauchos. They're gauchos. So anyway, this weekend in Smithfield House. So hoping to get back on track. Obviously, it was a disappointing weekend for them. Obviously, doesn't really change necessarily the outlook for the year, but this team is showing to be a little bit inconsistent, so they're going to need to get that headed in the right direction. But like we talked about last week, UC Irvine's a top 10 team, so it's not as if walking onto the road against the Anteaters was some given that they were going to, you know, win six sets in a row and walk out of there. So a scale of 0 to 10, 10 is super worried, 0 is not worried at all. How did last weekend affect your barometer with the volleyball team?
I'm definitely not in a super worried category.
I'm like a 3.
I'm like a 4 or 5 maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good to lose both. As I said last week, I predicted a split. So that obviously didn't happen. They did go to 5 sets on Saturday night. So, I mean, it got relatively close to a split, but didn't happen. Matt, a couple of football things before we close out the show. Dylan Cauley might be coming to BYU. So the Hawaii
full circle, huh?
Yeah, a graduate transfer from Hawaii has narrowed his choices down to BYU and Vanderbilt. You know, he led Hawaii last year with 56 catches. I remember watching him a little bit, and obviously is a guy that has had a pretty decent college career. So we had a couple of tweet bag questions on that. Justin Sweeney is the first one out of the bag.
Sweeney.
You're really slow today.
I don't know what it is. It's my processor. I don't know.
It's late. We're both tired. So Dylan Cauley appears to have us in his top two. How big of a get would this be given the offensive struggles last year, especially in the past game? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag too scared to climb on in. Hashtag too scared to climb on in. That's right, Justin. You shouldn't be scared.
But he climbed on in anyway. I admire your bravery.
Yeah, Sweeney. I think he's making fun of your stupid hashtag. Your not brilliant hashtag. How's that?
I feel like you crossed the line there. That was unnecessary.
No, it was super necessary. And then Michael Mangum on Facebook says, thoughts on the possible Dylan Cauley transfer from Hawaii? How much of an impact would that make on our wide receiver unit? Matt, thoughts on Dylan Cauley potentially landing with the Cougars?
I think Dylan Cauley is a decent receiver. I don't think he's a world beater. I don't think that he's a guy that's going to make a difference. You know, I think we've got basically on our schedule, there's really two kinds of games. Games that are going to be really hard to win and games that are going to be embarrassing if we lose. And I don't know that. And so does Dylan Cauley make a difference against UMass? No, because if we lose that game, it's going to be embarrassing anyway. But does Dylan Cauley give us something we need at wide receiver that allows us to beat Wisconsin? No, I don't think that he does, right? But would it be a valuable addition if you look at the receiver core we had in 2017 and ask me, could we have used a Dylan Cauley on the roster? Yeah, we could have. I think he's a serviceable receiver. I think he's good.
He starts, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he'll start, but he's not. I mean, he's not some world beater.
He's not his brother.
Addition. No, he's not his brother.
Right? I mean, so let's not make it like too much, but he starts. I mean, wide receiver, if you had to rank positions by your level of concern about them, okay, what position are you most concerned about going into the 2018 season?
Quarterback.
Okay. What's second?
Can it be quarterback again?
It could be. All right, let's go through the position groups, okay? We're both super concerned about quarterback. We have no idea who it's even going to be, right?
We don't even know who's going to be healthy.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't even know what the options are.
And Mangum are healthy. Obviously, Critchlow, Willstead, you know, Hall. And there's all these people that we don't know who will do it, right? Running back, I feel fairly okay with. Canada, Burt, Tolatau, Fanua if he's healthy, Kalen Hall. I feel pretty comfortable, right?
Yeah, I think we at least know what the options are, right? And there are options there that we can have confidence in.
Yes. Tight end. I feel pretty good about tight end. This will be the first year in, like, forever that's been the case.
For the first time in forever.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just sing Frozen on the podcast?
I wouldn't really classify that as singing.
I wouldn't either.
But, yeah, we got a tight end that we know is good.
And
I'm probably that's one of my least areas of concern.
Lalu Potutau. You know, Moroni, we don't know.
MLP.
We might have two really good tight ends, right? In theory, if he's healthy. And, you know, obviously there are concerns on offensive line, but I'm not super concerned about the offensive line. I mean, I'm not super comfortable either. So where I'm headed, Matt, is...
No, and there's some places on defense you got to think about, but...
But wide receiver is behind quarterback is the group I'm most concerned about. Is that true for you, or is there something on the defensive side you're more concerned about?
Yeah, that's probably true. So I guess my question to you is that how much would an additional Dylan Colley change your level of concern?
It makes a significant difference because of I just don't know if we've got anybody there who can do what Dylan does.
But they'd still be your second greatest area of concern as a position unit?
Probably.
Yeah, so I think you and I are kind of in a similar space, right? I mean, it would not fundamentally change the way I view our receiving core. I don't know if it would fundamentally change my level of comfort around the offense. But it's a great add. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to undersell what it would mean to get Dylan Colley in because I think he's a guy who could contribute right away.
Yeah. And he's a graduate transfer, right? You only bring in a graduate transfer and give that scholarship if you think they're going to be a significant contributor, right? Otherwise, right, it's absolutely. Just a waste. So, Matt, I'm going to surprise you here with something. We last week talked about the 2018 football schedule. This time we're going to talk about the 2019 football schedule.
Oh, fantastic. A subject for which I am find woefully myself unprepared.
All right. So, Matt, 2019 football schedule, you have the opportunity to attend three of those games. Somebody has handed you plane tickets, game tickets. You have to pick the three games you want to attend. What three games are you attending on the 2019 schedule? And we'll just take Liberty off the board. Of course, you're going to be going to Liberty.
Okay, good. Good.
You know, but besides that, the next three games, who are you picking?
The three games that I take there are Tennessee, USC, and Washington.
Those are my same three picks. You know what's interesting about those three games?
That neither of us picked Utah.
Well, that's interesting too, in its own right. They're in a row.
Yes.
They're right in a row, three games in a row, but two of them are in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
That's pretty cool.
Should we do a Brothers Weekend and go to one of those games?
We've said that one of these years the Brothers Weekend game will be a game in Provo, and 2019 just might be the year. I mean, look at those options.
USC, Washington. I think there's a good chance.
I'd be willing to travel to Provo to see Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State would be fun.
I mean, because if you look at the rest of this schedule, right? I mean, a second trip back to Massachusetts would be fun. We're not going to go. I do not want to go see a San Diego State game on the road and have to have the discussion again about fans of an opposing team dressed as Mormon missionaries. Knoxville, Tennessee could be interesting. Going to see a game at Tennessee could be fun.
100,000 people dressed in a terrible orange color. I'm totally kidding.
Smoky, whatever.
We've got some family members that are partial to Tennessee. I was joking about the orange.
I can't wait for Don's contributions to this tweet bag next week. But USC, Washington, I mean, those are good games. They'll be good games to go see. They happen to be at home this year.
Knoxville would be awesome, honestly. It would be really cool to see. So, but three awesome games on the schedule in a row. And quite frankly, the back half of that schedule – you know, at San Diego State, I don't know how good they'll be, right? They were pretty good this past year. they might still be good. So it could be interesting at the end of the year. And that UMass game at Gillette over Thanksgiving weekend. It's kind of interesting, right? It's kind of an interesting schedule 2019 is working out to be. Well, Matt, that's it for us this week. We, of course, will be back next week to talk about what happened in the Gonzaga game. I don't know what happened yet, but, you know, we'll find out. We'll
time travel has yet to be invented.
Yeah, nope. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's – if time travel gets invented, do you go back in time and fix any of our podcast episodes?
How many episodes have we recorded now?
This is 312, I think.
So there's probably around 300 episodes that you could go back and fix something.
313, I'm sorry. 313.
And most of the time,
Yeah, that's perfect. You just totally cut out. So I think that's a perfect fitting ending to this week's podcast, Matt, is you trying to say something and then we don't hear it.
Yeah, it's probably better off because it didn't get better.
I know what I would do. I would go back and somehow get the hashtag climb on in to not exist.
You'd be ripping apart the fabric of the space-time continuum if you did that. I mean, no telling what disasters would await us.
Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening to this week's episode of the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. You can find this show and other good shows at deseretnews.com/podcast. You can also check us out on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. If you like the show, go to iTunes, give us a review, tell us what you like, and tell your friends and tell your neighbors, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars! It's all right.